What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
That's right. Y'all know what the deal is. Every Monday right here around this time on this wonderful sports program, that'd be The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. We do a little weekend's best, weekend's worst. And I want to start this thing off with our former NFL quarterback, Clint Sterner, Dirty Red. He watched a lot of football over the weekend. Wouldn't be surprised if it goes this direction. But Dirty Red, Clint, for you, fresh out of the weekend, who was the weekend's best in your eyes, sir?
Well, this probably isn't going to surprise anybody because I've done a lot of comparing this team to our Texans, and the common thread there being neither one of us decided we were going to protect our quarterback last year. So C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams were the two quarterbacks that got the hell beat out of them, and their respective organizations needed to go out, and number one priority was fix the offensive line. The Bears decided to go one route and paid a boatload of money, brought in some of the best free agents on the market to do so, and the Texans took a little different approach. They shipped out their best offensive linemen and brought in some guys that were, I would say, not real expensive. Some team friendly contracts these guys signed. So I've compared the Texans to the Bears quite a bit, and I'll be honest. So people may know this, may not surprise some folks. I am fascinated with Caleb Williams. I am super fascinated with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams together. I just, something about Caleb Williams in a similar position to, at some point, maybe not this year, but at some point, in a similar position to what Jared Goff has been in the last couple of years with Ben Johnson, I think has a chance to be absolute must-see TV on the offensive side of the football. And for the first time, I don't think Caleb Williams played in their preseason opener. So I think this is the first time that we got a chance to actually see the young quarterback in Ben Johnson's offense. He ended up 6 of 10 for 107 yards and one tight end, one touchdown, got both of his tight ends in the mix and ended up throwing a touchdown that was a good catch after run. And it just, there's nothing that really stuck out, Luke, like specifically other than it's just Caleb Williams and that skill in that Ben Johnson offense I thought was going to be sexy, and now that I saw just a short glimpse of it, I'm even more turned on by watching the Bears in that combo this season.
I'm with you on the comparison between the two teams and situations and how good the Bears offense looked yesterday, but in a weird, maybe twisted way, it almost made me a little more worrisome about the Texans in the sense of it looked for me, when I see these teams, it makes me think that I need to take all of this with a bigger grain of salt. Where first time Caleb Williams, we heard Ben Johnson talking about, you know, it's been ugly in practice, yada, yada, yada. And then first time in game action with Caleb Williams in this system, you know, they go out and they play really well and the team overall scores 38 points. Like Trevor Lawrence in a new system looked good this weekend. And yes, of course, CJ Stroud, first team offense looked good. But when I look around the league and I see scoring is up, the overs are flying off the handle for Vegas. Everyone, all these games are hitting the overs. All these quarterbacks, most of the quarterbacks, maybe not in Indianapolis, are putting up good numbers. And so it's like, man, I really like what I'm seeing from the Texans, but then I look around the rest of the league and I think, maybe it's just preseason. Maybe it's just too easy for these offenses right now in preseason that it creeps into my mind that maybe I need to add more grains of salt to borrow that expression because of, you know, everyone's having this success that maybe I'm being a prisoner of the moment for Houston.
You know, the interesting thing it seems like, Luke, is there's no longer like almost like there used to be an understanding around the NFL of like preseason game one, we're not going to play. Preseason game two, we are going to play. You know what I mean? It's always been like, okay, if you tune into this game, then you're going to see the starters. Mm-hmm. The reality of it is Chicago played their starters. Buffalo didn't. I don't know that Buffalo played a starter. I think I read where they played two starters. And I'm talking about out of all 22 starters, they played two guys, one on defense and one on offense. And it was because those guys had been out with injury and haven't had a lot of reps. So they wanted to get them to work. So, I mean, look, I don't think this isn't one of those like earth-shattering, oh my God, Caleb Williams is going to be all world. I think the dude is an absolute freak with the ball in his hand. I think he's the closest thing that we've seen stylistically to Pat Mahomes. And I think when you put last year, it was unfair. You can't even, you don't know what the guy can or can't do. All you can do is sit back and say, well, he's tougher than hell. He's a tough son of a buck because he ain't quitting, you know, which I guess there's some plus in that, some positive in that. But I think this kid is, again, I don't always agree with it because I lean more towards the C.J. Stroud, Joe Burrow, Tom Brady way of playing the game, right? The traditional from the pocket, processing at a high level, the ball's out on time, in rhythm, staying on schedule, where he, I think, again, has the ability to freestyle and play a little bit more like Pat Mahomes with Ben Johnson calling the plays. I just think that is going to be fun as hell to watch. Maybe, it's going to be a top three or four watch for me outside of Houston.
There you go, Clint Sterner, former NFL quarterback right there. His weekend's best goes to the Chicago Bears in that offense. I don't know so much about Bears offense, you know, getting you turned on over there dirty. Some might say you're venturing into a little bit of bestiality there, if you ask me, with these Bears turning
sick
you on.
You're sick.
But let's find out what Luke's is. Luke Moto, if you are just tuning in, he's filling in on the drive today with us for Ron the Show Hughley. Luke, what is your weekend's best?
I'll stay in the NFL and I'll keep it more local. I was going to say Blake Fisher. He looked like a guy who was playing himself out of the league lately.
Wow.
I thought he held up really well Saturday from what I could tell just on the TV copy. And part of the first team offensive line that, depending on where you look, NFL.com put him down for allowing two pressures. Pro Football Focus had him at zero pressures, but he was part of that first unit, and I thought played well. Now, unfortunately, it ended with him tweaking the ankle, and he's not practicing. They just they're getting on the practice field here this hour. They just got out on the practice field. The Texans did today, and he's not practicing today. So that was a tough pill to swallow after what seemed like a good day. But I thought it was a promising day for Blake Fisher, who looked a lot better than previous weeks, and I think that's important. That's huge for this offensive line.
Look, I think he's been minimized to a point of he's playing for his job. I think he's playing for his spot on the roster. I think he's playing to hopefully be trusted as a swing tackle as he was last year. I'm not privy to the information. Maybe the organization looks at it differently, but I know if you're just looking at his play, he has tried his damnedest to play his way out of a roster spot, and if he weren't a second-round pick, he would have played himself out of a roster spot at this point in time. So good to see he did. I didn't pay much mind to him, but to your point, that is actually a good thing.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
If we're not talking about it, it's a good thing. So I like where your head's at.
That's right. You are listening to Houston's number one afternoon drive sports talk program. That'd be The Drive, Sterner and Hughley. No Hughley today. Our guy Luke Morrow riding with Clint Sterner. We got the best out of the way. Doing a little weekend's best, weekend's worst. Now talk about the losers from the weekend that was. Back over to you, Clint, Dirty Red. Who's your weekend's worst on a Monday here on The Drive?
Well, I don't know that it can get any worse than the Cleveland Browns, guys. Look, I think you've got this is unbelievable, man. It's you got an organization that's got five quarterbacks, six if you count the they still have the kid they signed a couple of weeks ago, the old backup out of the Baltimore Ravens system, Huntley.
I believe so. Yeah, I think so, it's just a plethora of arms.
So maybe they got six guys now, but I mean, like the only way that you, I think, are even remotely interesting to NFL fans, and hell, to be honest with you, maybe even to your own fan base, is if Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, one of those two guys, plays and either plays well or doesn't, and maybe you get a boost of energy and boost the interest in your fan base by playing the other one if the first one doesn't play well. But this is an organization that drafted two quarterbacks, two of the top quarterbacks in college football this year. You've got Deshaun Watson that's working out and rehabbing on a yacht somewhere. That's just eating up $250 million of your owner's money. And you've got Kenny Pickett, who can't stay healthy. And they've gone out and named their starter Joe Flacco. I love Joe Flacco. I'm higher on Joe Flacco than most. He went out and won a Super Bowl. I have a hard time disrespecting and minimizing that. But right now, going into the season, August 18, 2025, if I'm a Browns fan and the best you've done all offseason is to come back with Joe Flacco as the starting quarterback, I am as if I wasn't already going to jump off a tall building, I might make that decision if I were a Browns fan after this comes out.
How many quarterbacks do you think start a game for the Browns this year?
Ooh, over, under.
If I set it 2.5.
Over. Over.
Okay.
No question.
All right. I thought maybe that'd be too low. What about three? And do we get to four?
I think we get to four. I don't think Deshaun does. But I think every guy in a Browns uniform, especially if Flacco's going to start one, then I think we get to two and three and four with the other three guys in the competition now. Pickett, Shadur, and Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Did you see Dylan Gabriel's comments, by the way, after his first game?
The entertainer, competitor.
There you go, weekend's worst from Clint Sterner. Well, it's a squad that could be weekend's worst probably most weekends over the last 10 years, Cleveland Browns. Over to you, Luke. Put a cap on this thing for us, my friend. Your weekend's worst, Luke Morrow.
I was going to say the Astros bullpen and take the low-hanging fruit, with how bad it was. But then I was reminded of perusing Twitter during the commercial break about Rob Manfred's appearance on Sunday Night Baseball last night and talking about expansion to Major League Baseball, which is fine for me if you want to expand. But I don't like this idea that he's talking about shaking up the leagues and doing it based off of regions. And so it would essentially end the American League and the National League, and I don't like that. There's been all these changes in baseball that has changed what the sport was for 100 years. And like, I know the Astros right here in Houston, they switch leagues as well, but this would be completely removing American League and National League and sorting them all up together. I saw Jim Bowden, a former GM for the Reds, now works for the Athletic, gave his best prediction. And just to give you an example, it had the Astros with the Rangers, and then I think the St. Louis Cardinals and the Kansas City Royals would be their new division. I hate the idea of changing all of the divisions and removing a lot of those rivalries and then just simply getting rid of American League and National League, which dates back to 1876, to change things to make it more regional. I hate this idea floated out by baseball's commissioner, who I think has done a terrible job since leading the sport.
Do you think that what do you think the owners will say? Like, I got to imagine Jim Crane looks at it and goes, boy, my travel expenses are cut in half if I don't have to fly clear across the country every time I go on the road.
I know it. And I guess that's part of the appeal. And then also, I think the other sell is like ticket prices, you know, because now, like, for example, you get the Yankees and Mets in the same division. So now they play a bunch, and the A's and the Giants aren't really a rivalry much anymore. But you get these cross-leagues rival. You get the Cubs and White Sox now can play each other more than just the two series. So I think that's the other sell for the owners, too, is like this could help ticket prices. Yeah. You know, we'll get more people coming to the game. So, it's a good question. I don't know. I'm curious what the rest of the league would think about it, but they must be somewhat into the idea because, you know, Manfred just works for the owners. And so I don't think this idea would get anywhere unless there was some interest.
All right, that's Luke Morrow. He is in for Ron, the show. Ugly, you're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Baby, look, there is... this is a reaction Monday. Texans won a preseason game two against the Carolina Panthers. I've got takeaways, and that is next right here on Sports Radio 610. Before we do that, though, I got to tell you about Generator Supercenter, y'all. Power outages are going to happen around these parts. If you lived here around any amount of time, you know that. Extreme heat, extreme cold, hurricanes. We are still in hurricane season, ain't we, Tyler? Yeah, you got me believing.
Unfortunately,
yeah, we're still in the middle of hurricane season.
Sorry, man. That was a movie quote earlier. That's my bad.
That's all right. As long as they had a generator in that movie, they'd be all right.